The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I have spoken on this gospel every year for the past 8 years. So I'm going to give it a rest today. Okay, I'm going to talk about the first reading instead, because this is interesting. First reading now, it comes from the book of Numbers. Numbers is so named because that book numbers two generations of people who wandered through the desert. First generation and a second generation. And this reading you heard today for your first reading is the heart of the message of the book of Numbers, like the whole hinge on which the whole book turns. And here's what happens, okay? So the Israelite people have been set free from slavery. They've crossed through the Red Sea. They've gotten the Ten Commandments. And they've made their way right up to the edge of the Promised Land. And now they're finally about to enter the land flowing with milk and honey. So Moses takes 12 people, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and he assigns them to go out and to scout the land of Israel. And when they come back, after scouting the land, which takes them 40 days, they discover that there is a majority report and a minority report about what's inside the land. Okay? 10 people come back to give the majority report, and they say, "It is a land filled with milk and honey, but it's a land filled with a race of giants, and we'll never be able to take this land." That's the majority report. Minority report is 2 people. And they say, "Doesn't matter what we found in that land. God's protected us so far, and God's going to protect us in the future as well. Let's enter into the land." Well, which of those 2 reports do you think the mass of the people listened to? Yeah, the majority report. The people of Israel, as a generality, they said, "Protect us. God's not going to protect us. God's not going to be provident and help us. We can't enter into this land. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go back to Egypt. That's what we're going to do." And then somebody said, "Well, Moses will never lead us back to Egypt." And then somebody said, "Well, tell you what. We'll stone Moses to death. We'll elect a new leader, and then we'll go back to Egypt." Well, Moses intervened and God intervened, and that never happened. But this becomes a very important turning point in the Old Testament. It's kind of like what happened when the people didn't believe back in the days of the golden calf, right, at the foot of Mount Sinai. And just like in the days of the golden calf, when people didn't believe there were consequences, there's going to be consequences to people not believing today. Okay, and here's my little point for you today. This is what I really want you to think about. The consequences for the Israelites then for not trusting in the Lord are the exact same consequences as the consequences for us today when we don't trust in the Lord. 3 consequences. There's mercy, there's justice, and most interestingly of all, there's irony. Let's look at each 3 of those. First of all, there's mercy. God forgives his people again. He forgives them again. There's mercy. Secondly, there's justice. The people who didn't believe that they could not enter into the promised land, they will not enter into the promised land. The only people who will enter into the promised land are going to be the people who trusted and the children who were innocent. Okay, they're the only people that are going to make it. But this was most interesting of all. There's a sense of irony in the consequences to sin. There were 40 days that they investigated the land. They will now wander for 40 years before anybody enters into it. The people had complained to Moses along the way. They'd said, oh, why did he lead us to this land? And oh, I wish we could have died in the desert. Well, guess what? Their wish is going to come true. They're going to die in the desert. The only people who are going to make it in is the younger generation. That generation that didn't believe, they're not going to get to see the promised land. And here's the point that I'd ask you to think about today. God forgives. Don't get me wrong. He always forgives. But there are consequences to sin. And God never takes those consequences away. You ever heard it said before, God always forgives. Human beings sometimes forgive. Nature never forgives. That's what I mean to say. So, for example, you can get maybe a young boy, he throws a rock through a window, breaks the window. He's sorry for breaking the window. He's forgiven for breaking the window. But the window's still broken. You might have had 3 pieces of cake for dessert last night. You're sorry for having 3 pieces of cake. You're forgiven for having 3 pieces of cake, but guess what? The bathroom scale in the morning doesn't care, right? You're not forgiven. There are consequences to sin, and this is the irony that sometimes I don't talk about this. The irony of God's justice is that if you want sin, you'll get sin. You'll get what you want, and you'll come to discover that it always contains its own punishment. Why does God do that? Why is God like that? Well, for one reason, God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances, and he really hopes you'll learn after all those chances. But you know the real reason why God does that? Is because when he gives us commandments, they're not arbitrary. When God says, do this, he commands it because it really is good for us and for others. And whenever God says, thou shalt not, it's because it really does harm. It's not just an arbitrary rule, which, by the way, is why when people justify and excuse sin and they say that it's love and they're being loving, don't believe it. Sin is never love. It's never what's best for us. And trusting in the Lord is how we reap the benefits of the good commandments that God has given us. This Canaanite woman here in the gospel, she had more faith than all the children of Israel put together. And our Lord wants us to imitate her faith. So let's do so and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Sixtus, pray for us.